following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, welcome to another one of our fireside chats that we're doing every weekday here at Refuge. This is Communion Friday. It's May 1st already. We've survived another crazy month of this year, and I've seen the meme go around. I'm sure you guys have seen it too, but it's been a very unique leap year with 29 days in February and 300 days in March and 5 years in April. So I'm wondering how long May will last, but we're starting off May with communion because it is our Friday. It's communion time. So if you haven't already, take the moment, run and grab some grape juice and some bread and be ready in about 15 minutes. A little less than that. We'll be having communion together. So let's pray as we kick off our time together. Lord, we pray for our country, our state, our world, our county, our city, as we're dealing still with the effects of the lockdown for the coronavirus pandemic that we're facing. And we pray right now for wisdom for our government leaders and how to handle this, and that wisdom on at what level are we looking at for opening or closing different aspects of our country. Give them wisdom and guidance, and give us, Lord, the patience that we so desperately need during this time. Give us the patience and the ability to just slow down and listen to you and what you are wanting to do in our lives. As Alan talked about yesterday in the fireside chat, of just taking this time to be discipled, to hear from you. And so we pray that you would be with us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's May 1st, and the question honestly is, what is this month going to look like for you? And for me, I know that it's going to, with everything else obviously, consist of, as almost every day of my life as, of learning new random facts and eating good food and learning new random facts about eating good food. And like some of these, I actually wanted to share some of the things that I've recently learned about food in the United States. That we consume, the average American consumes a literal ton every year. 4 pounds off of reaching that 2,000 pound a year mark. That's how average that we consume. And it's crazy to think about. If we're eating that much food, why is it that 80% of Americans actually don't eat enough fruits and vegetables? We do find a room for 90% of us to eat too much sodium and 70% to eat too much sugar or fat. And when I talk about sugar, I'm talking 141 pounds of sweeteners, including 42 pounds of just high fructose corn syrup. That's the average, right? And that makes sense then, this next fact, that in the United States, there are 10 billion donuts that are consumed every year. Yeah. We eat a lot, don't we? 40% of Americans regularly eat their lunch at their desk. We just we get so busy that food becomes something that we just do in the background almost. And we do that a lot. We eat, we snack, we watch a movie. What are we doing? We're eating. We're working. We're eating. We're driving. We're eating. 20% of meals are now consumed in cars. 20%. 1 in 5 meals are now eaten in a car because we eat on the run, right? When I look at this and think about this, we don't focus a lot on what we consume, on what we eat, until we don't eat, right? God created us in a way that we can actually survive for over a month without eating food, but we can't go more than 2 hours past our normal mealtime without noticing that we've missed a meal, right? My mood changes if I miss lunch and it's now 2 o'clock and my mood changes. We have a whole word for it in the English language now with hangry, right? We're hungry and angry smashed together. And when we get hangry, people better stay out of our way, right? We all kind of feel that way. And, God designed us that in a way that throughout our day, we should be reminded of our dependence upon Him. Because every time we put food in our mouth, we actually are admitting our dependence on somebody else, on God, for providing for us. We're showing dependence on the God who creates food, who provides the sun and rain and nourishment for the plants and the soil We thank God and show our dependence upon Him for the way that He designed our bodies and other animals that we also eat, the way that we can break down those carbohydrates and proteins and build them back up into something else that we need to live. Every time we put food in our mouth, we actually should be preaching that sermon to ourselves that I am needy and dependent. I am needy and dependent. We are dependent upon the Lord for every bit of food that we eat. And it's humbling if we actually were to take the time to thank God for every single bite of food, not just once before breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but what about praying before every snack, every bite of food? Thank you, Lord, for this bite of food that's nourishing me. And as we come to the communion table today, we declare our neediness there as well. We gather to eat and to drink, and by doing so, we declare that we're not just dependent upon God for our sustenance, but for our salvation as well. Jesus taught in John 6, He said, "Verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." Now, obviously, many were confused at the time when Jesus first said this. I mean, they're like, "What? Eat your flesh? What does that even mean?" But what He was doing was teaching that there is life in Him. There is life, and that is only found in Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, we find that life. And at the communion table, we come together. It's the symbolic place where we can gather together and proclaim that we are in Jesus and He is in us. And we are one with Him and one with each other as we partake of this communion together. And so as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup that we're about to take, we remind ourselves that we need Christ to sustain us and to preserve our faith just as much as He preserves us and sustains us with the food that we eat throughout the day. That I think that it's because God knows our constant need for food that He chose a meal to be one of the two biggest celebrations that we do in the church. We have baptism, but we do that once. And then we have communion, that meal that we're to do, as it says in 1 Corinthians 11, often as you gather together and partake of this meal, do these things. So we gather to eat and drink because we are hungry. We are hungry for Him. And it's a beautiful thing to see because we who were once God's enemies have been reconciled into His family, invited to dine with Jesus as a reminder of our new relationship with Him and with each other as well. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all share the one loaf." And that obviously, as we're spread out across our city and county and nation, really, as I know we've got people tuning in from all over, we're not literally have one loaf of bread that we're all breaking a piece off of, but we do share in that one loaf, the bread that is Jesus Christ. So if this meal is as a representation of our need for Jesus and our participation with Him, why is it so small? Why do we have, you know, a piece of bread this small and a little bit of juice? Shouldn't we like feast ourselves on the bread and on the cup and just fill ourselves? Wouldn't that show our complete dependence upon Jesus? But the reason why he has us sharing one piece of bread and from one cup as the way he gave it to His disciples is that this is not to be a full meal, but it's just to be a small appetizer. A small appetizer. It's not meant to fill us physically. These things are meant to remind us of the great feast that the Lord is preparing for us in the new heaven and the new earth when we sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb and celebrate for eternity what Christ has done for us. Isaiah 25 says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. It says we're going to sit together at a feast that is going to fill everyone in that day. This meal here is not meant to fill us. It's meant to remind us that we are waiting for something so much more. And as we gather together for this time of communion, even if it is just in spirit as we're spread out across right now, we confess our dependence together upon the Lord. We look around and see what God has done for us. As we look around, and hopefully if you're gathered together with your family, you can see the body of Christ sitting there with you. But know this as well, that even though we're spread out, we are the body of Christ together. And as we taste this appetizer and see this small glimpse of the great feast he has prepared for us, let us eat and drink, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. And so in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so let us take that bread together in remembrance of the death of Jesus Christ, his body broken for us. Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken on the cross, that was beaten and bruised for our sins, for our iniquities. We thank you because we know that because of your death on the cross, we have life. We have forgiveness for our sins and can have eternal life with you because our debt has been paid. And we thank you for that. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so let us take the cup together in remembrance of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And let us proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed, because we know that your word says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Your blood was shed so that ours wouldn't have to be. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. And we'll be back here again next week for another whole set of our fireside chats. So tune in every Monday through Friday at 12. God bless you guys. We'll see you around.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.